I sense that there has to be some teaching or exhortation, if you will, in this area, because I believe many of us are sitting back and thinking that God won't use us. And because God won't use us, then we do not endeavor to get involved in his things, or we do not endeavor to speak out his word. We don't endeavor to witness. We get involved in other things besides men and women's souls. We get involved in other things that take up our time as opposed to being involved in spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that can, you can do that not only by word, but also by deed. But you do carry something. There's something God put on the inside of you that he wants to get out. This is not just a dead religion that we're involved in. We sang about the blood this morning, about the blood of Jesus, and it sounds like a bloody, kind of a yucky thing to think about all this talk and singing about the blood. But the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And that's why we talk about it. And really, back in the days of Jesus, when you talked about sacrifice, that was such a natural thing. It wasn't looked at as a gory thing at all to see a lot of blood splashed around. We live in this pretty clean society today. And with the blood-borne diseases, we get all kind of tense about that whole area of even talking about blood. But the precious blood of Jesus is the only thing that can wash away your sin. There's no getting around that. Jesus is the only one. He has allowed us to be involved with him so that he took his precious blood and he spilt it. The one who had no sin, Jesus, took his own precious blood and became sin that you and I could live as if we've never sinned. I mean, that's awesome when you stop and think about it. You and I have the privilege of living as if we've never sinned. I'm not talking about the fact that we have sinned and we do sin from time to time and we confess our sin and so forth, but I am saying that the blood of Jesus is powerful enough for us to be able to live as if we've never sinned. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want you to realize that there is a power on the inside of you that can cause you to be the greatest powerhouse that ever walked the planet because of Jesus Christ and all he's done for us. And I believe that's released in the area of healing. That's released in the area of a prayer when Jesus comes and brings us to a place of healing. Now, healing comes from heaven in order to destroy the works of the devil. Remember what 1 John says? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And we know that when we've seen Jesus walk this earth, he laid hands on the sick and seen them healed. So that would tell me that he was destroying Satan's work by healing the sick. So sickness is a part of Satan's work. Healing is a part of God's work, part of Jesus' work. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And when we have a healing service, that's what we're involved in. We're endeavoring to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus gives us a commandment to go. He says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus was sent to destroy the works of the devil. You and I have been sent to destroy the works of the devil. Let me ask you this question. Are you involved in destroying the works of the devil? I sure hope so. Because that's what we've been called to. Obviously, we're not just in the church here this morning who would come and we'll sing some nice songs and we'll pray some pretty prayers and give you a real motivational speech and you go home and feel good. Well, this is not what we're about. We don't want to be about. I want to exhort you. I want to charge you with a responsibility that has come from heaven that you are sent forth to destroy the works of the devil. Now, ask yourself this question, not only here, but when you're home, when you get up in the morning, when you go to work, when you're looking after your children, whatever you're doing, ask yourself, are you involved in destroying the works of the devil? You're going to have some kind of measurement to see if you can, you know, judge that. There's going to have to be some kind of standard that you're going to have to put down. Well, have I told anybody about Jesus? Have I prayed for anything? Have I laid hands on the sick and so forth? Am I doing these things? Am I involved in these things, in destroying the works of the devil? Well, I want to look just a few minutes this morning a little bit about this enemy that we have called death. Death is an enemy. And I wanted to kind of keep in the series that I have been on the last few weeks about where I believe the Lord is taking us as a church, but I'm just going to sidetrack a little bit this morning and talk about this specific area because it goes along with where the Lord is taking us in Revelation concerning the power and authority that has been given to us in destroying the works of the devil. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, most of us know this, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We always want to say that part. When we say that scripture, you know, I see these signs sometimes. The wages of sin is death. Oh, scary. But I always like to see read the last part. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have to realize there are consequences to sin, which is death, but there's a way out through Jesus Christ. Now, the wages of sin is death. Simply speaks to us about the fact that the wages, the what's coming to us because of sin, the Bible says, is death. The wages of sin is death. If you go to work for somebody, you know, they hire you, you go to work, at the end of that day, you expect to get something. And you want to go after it. When we think about that wages, we think of working and getting wages, well, you might think, well, I can just work all day and go home and not bother with my wages. We'll never do that, but sometimes we kind of think that we can get away with that when it comes to sin. We can go and sin and think that there's no consequences of it. But the wages of sin is death, and it doesn't matter whether we show up to pick up our wages or not, they're going to come to us. If we sin, if we hold bitterness, if we hold hatred, if you know, any kind of sin that you can think of, if we walk in that, our wages will eventually come to us. And the wages of sin is death. Now, death is come to destroy what God has brought to life. The battle is on. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. The Apostle Paul has given some instruction about what's going to happen when everything comes to a close and end. After that, he says, verse 24, after that comes the end, the completion, when he delivers over the kingdom to God the Father after rendering inoperative and abolishing every other rule and every other authority. So he is saying when everything is accomplished, Jesus is going to turn the kingdom over to the Father. And notice he says, after rendering inoperative every rule and authority. In other words, he's saying that all these authorities that are set up, there are spiritual authorities that are set up over lands, over regions, and sometimes even over individuals, all these are going to be rendered inoperative. In other words, what they do is going to be null and void. They're not going to be able to penetrate the light. They may still exist, and they will still exist because these are spirit beings. They'll live forever, but they'll be rendered inoperative in your life and in the life of a nation or a region. And so when we go into a region to penetrate it with the light of the gospel, we are rendering these demonic forces inoperative. We are speaking light over darkness. And when light is spoken over darkness, darkness cannot overcome the light. Light always overcomes the darkness. And so at the end, all these principalities and powers and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places will be rendered inoperative. Verse 25, for Christ must be king and reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Every enemy is under his feet. Jesus is alive today. He lives on the inside of us by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you and I are a part of the body of Christ. If Jesus' enemies are under his feet, he's under us. The enemy is under us. We are a part of the body where we walk above the enemy because Jesus' enemies will be rendered inoperative and put under his feet. Now notice verse 26. The last enemy to be subdued and abolished and destroyed is death. The last enemy to be done away with is death. Somebody said, what's the meaning of death? Well, I heard it said, it's when you stop paying taxes. Well, that could be one thing. That's about the only way you'll get out of them. But death is not the concept of, like when you have an animal and it dies and it's dead, and as far as you're concerned, you know, it's final. I'll never forget, I'm just thinking of a time when I was farming and we had spent some money on this one particular animal, this cow, and we had her artificially inseminated, and we were kind of constraining, trying to bring forth a kind of a different breed. And this animal was produced, and it was a beautiful heifer, and she was going to have her first calf. And we had her artificially inseminated as well, so we could get this particular breed. She had a calf, a beautiful calf, but she was down and couldn't get up. We were there with her, and my brother and I went to the barn and seen her there, and we said, after so long, you should try to get them up. So we kind of pushed the cow a little bit and tried to get it going, and the cow kind of lunged, and the head swung around, and nothing. And my brother said, that thing's dead. And I just couldn't believe it at the time. It just like that, it was dead. And the thing that hit me was, it's so final. It's so final. Suddenly, what you've worked for so long is simply gone like that. You have no more relationship with that ever again. Now, a lot of times we look at death that way. It's gone. But death really isn't like that. Really, it isn't. For you and I, for the human race, death is not like that. That is not what we should think of when we should think of death. Sure, when a loved one dies, they are gone out of our life. But they still exist, just not in your sphere. Listen to this definition of death. It is a separation, whether natural or violent, of the soul and body by which life on earth is ended. That's what death is. It is a separation of the spirit and the soul from the body so that you can no longer live on the earth. You see, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. When the spirit gets separated from the body, you can no longer live on the earth. But it doesn't mean that you don't exist anymore. It just means that you can't live on earth anymore. You just lost your earth suit, so you can't live on earth anymore. That's what death is. It's separation. But we still live on. And what we do with Jesus today determines where we live after this spirit is separated from this body. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He has saved us from our sin, then we go to be with Him. If we turn our backs on Jesus and refuse to acknowledge Him as our Lord and Savior, refuse to accept His sacrifice on the cross for our sin as payment for our sin, then we are on our own. We still own our sin. And sin will never make it to heaven. There's no such thing as sin in heaven. Hell is filled with sin, but not in heaven. We make a choice today when we choose Jesus, whether when we leave this body to go to heaven or to hell. We're going to be having communion in a few minutes, and we're going to enter into that communion relationship through the covenant meal. The Holy Spirit puts a seal on us because of our statement of faith when we go through this.